I see the look on your face and you're going, whoa, I'm not perfect. I'm far from the mark of perfect. So am I. Let me give you the good news.
Well, aren't we in flesh bodies?
Yeah. Let me give you the good news, though. You know what that word perfect means in the Greek? Study. Do you study the word of God?
Yeah.
You should be. Are you claiming to be born again?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what that means to be born again? I mean, to be illuminated by the Spirit of God. And then when that happens, I don't know how long you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God, do you think it takes you to sin and worldliness and false ways? Or do you think he takes you to truth and righteousness and God's ways? Yeah. So I don't know how long that's been. You don't have to share that. But study. Look at the Greek. Look at the Hebrew words. The word in the Greek, perfect, means complete and mature. So the good news is, God's not saying, you sinned once since you became a Christian. Toss him into outer darkness and he has no hope of salvation. No. What God is saying is, I want you to move on to completeness and maturity. So I have a question. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, we're many years down the road. Should we be more holy, more godly, more righteous now than we were in the first year? Yeah. The problem is that ain't happening in churchianity. I meet guys that say, I've been a Baptist for 47 years. And they're still worldly, carnal, false doctrine. They love the Packers. They hunt and fish more.
Are you meaning like Packers football team?
Packer
okay,
Nation.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, duh. Look at I tell my wife all the time, we travel so much, I don't even know where I am. I should be saying Minnesota Vikings. I've been telling everybody Packer Nation.
Yeah,
that's why they hate me.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they call the police.
I've been preaching in Wisconsin for months, and now we come across the line here. I got to be saying the Vikings are going to cost you your soul.
It's only 20 miles that way, maybe. Or 10.
But I did talk about the NFL football, so they get it.
Yeah.
You should be more holy, more righteous, so that completeness means any sin in you. Like if you were married, if you do get married, how perfect of a husband do you want to be? Just absolutely. Like that perfect, or do you want to be the best you can? And how about you as a bride? You want to be perfect, right? So let me give you this, ready? So if she was your bride, I'm going to get really graphic here, but we're all adults. She's your bride. You're married for a year. Marriage is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. You find out she's got a dude. She's laying with another man. I know you wouldn't do that, but let's just say she's laying with another man. You find out, you come to her and she goes, I'm sorry, it's true. I fell in my flesh. We're all sinners, right? Yeah, we all can sin. Forgive me, she says. All right. I'm going to forgive you because it could happen to me. Who am I? It could happen to me. What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do?
Turn the sheets.
Oh. I didn't hear what she said. What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do? She's got a dude she's laying with.
Oh, like in the bed. Tell her to get out. Tell the dude to get out.
Tell her to stop.
Yeah, that too.
I'll forgive you if you don't do that no more.
Yeah.
Now, what if she says to you, ready? And this is, you're going to laugh when I say this, ready? Because this is what I hear all the time. She's going to say to you, but Zechariah, right? Mm-hmm. I love you in my heart, but I'm still going to lay with you. Would you accept that of your bride?
No.
Isn't that what the church system says? I love God in my heart, but I sin in the world and stuff all the time. So there's spiritual harlotry and there's fleshly physical harlotry. That's physical harlotry that God hates. Guess what? He hates the spiritual harlotry even worse. So if you want your bride to be really perfect for you, which you should, and I want mine, and she wants me, and she wants you, and all that, how should we be for God, the creator of the universe, that gives us life, gives us breath, gives us gravity, gave us the Savior? How much striving for him should we be? And see, we strive for Christ so much because we've been forgiven so much. We were the worst of the worst, wicked, vile, carnal, worldly people. We're not born this way. Okay? And I tell people all the time, and I'm not proud of this, but I say it as part of my testimony. Other than hard drugs and homosexuality, I did everything else. That's the only two I can think I've never done. Seriously, murder, physical murder. I've never killed anybody, but I have wished people dead, which is murder to Jesus. But of those three things, that's like the only things I can think I haven't done. I've been everything else, and my wife will tell you pretty much the same thing. She's been wicked, wicked, wicked. So we've been forgiven so much by God. He didn't kill us in our sin. Now we're so zealous to serve him because we love him so much. We don't want any sins taken to us. We're not working our way to heaven. We're working for the one that made our way. And if you had $1 million, you mentioned finances. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. If you owed $2 million in a credit card bill and this said, we want to get married. We can't afford it. And some guy comes along, he goes, what do you owe? $2 million. Come here. Here. paid off your credit card. $2 million. You go, what? Yeah, I paid it off for you. No problem. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I paid it off for you. Come and mow my grass once a week. What would you do for a man that paid that debt off for you? Would you go, hey, man, I got it. I got it already. See you later, pal. Would you have some type of an onus to him, responsibility to him, a debt to him? Would you want to not honor him? That's what I was looking for, right? So Christ, this God, comes and dies and sheds his blood for us. How much honor should we have for him to root all sin out of our lives? Yet you see all the churchianity, they're like, we're saved by grace, man. I'm a big sinner. You didn't hear it. You weren't here. I made a video. John 9 says, God does not hear the prayers of sinners. That's what it says. I think it's 9:31 or 32. God does not hear the prayers of sinners. All these people standing around were telling me, we're just a bunch of sinners.
Ain't that hard truth for them?
And I said, God's not hearing your prayers because the saints of God are never called sinners. What are they called? I just said it.
Mockers?
Saints. Now, when you choose sin.
So what's the difference between mockers and saints?
Mockers and
saints.
Oh, mocker. Well, a mocker is somebody that like comes and makes fun of the word of God and doesn't want to listen. Not like you folks. You're like kind of listening. You're probably testing everything. You're going to walk away and go, is he saying true? Let's go into scripture and check it out. So you're not a mocker. Mockers are people that like push against the things of God. They make fun of the people of God. They make fun of Christ. They make fun of the word. Or they could be living in sin like this, claiming Jesus. That's another form of mockery. Yeah, Jesus died for my sins. But I live in sin. I like my sin. He died for me, right? Jesus, you got me covered. Jesus is like a get-out-of-hell card from the Monopoly game. I grew up playing Monopoly when I was a pagan. Get-out-of-jail card. I got it. I'm good on this game, man. It's like, get out of jail. People are treating Jesus like, I got a lot of sin in my life. Watch this. I got to get out of Jesus, get-out-of-hell card. That's not who Christ is. He's so worthy to be praised and lifted up.
Death.
And a saint would be someone that's born of God, that by their fruit and their life is following Christ and living for the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to share with you too. You've probably been told that Christianity is like the hope to go to heaven one day. That's actually only part of it, okay? That's kind of like saying, I'm getting married just for the sex. That's like part of it, but the rest of it is relationship, companionship, loving and care, and the sex that God created is wonderful. But actually, God asks you to enter the kingdom of God now, and you can't enter it just doing Sunday church. You can't enter it doing these music festivals. David Crowder is not walking in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in spirit and in truth. And that means you have to walk in all the doctrines of God. You have to conform your life. And I told that young man, be willing to lose all your family. I got to tell you the truth. All your friends. When you get married, you're going to forsake everyone, and she's going to forsake everyone. Most people do that. They go, yeah, I'll get married, forsake everybody else for her, and I'll do it for him. Guess what you got to do for God? You got to forsake everything. We lost our family, our friends, our grandchildren. We lost our careers, and we do it all again for the glory of God. But
Amen.
You will have to lose everything for the glory of God. And if you say, ready? If you say, Lord, I'll give up that, but not that, that.
Yeah.
That's the thing that God goes, Zechariah, I want that. I want that. Remember the rich man? What do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell your stuff. Come follow me. One thing. In Mark 10, it says Jesus loved him and then rebuked him and told him you lacked one thing. When I rebuke people, they say, you're mean-spirited. No, it's loving to call you out if sin is going to destroy your soul. They brought us out water and coffee and cookies. Is that going to help save my soul? Water and coffee and cookies? I said, bring the Bible. They're like, we go to churches all the time. They bring out coffee and cookies and set it at our feet. I said, what am I, the Pope? I don't want coffee and cookies. I want you to bring the Word of God out.
Wash my feet, too.
Yeah, bring the Word of God out and let's talk Scripture.
Yep.
You know why they don't? The Word of God will slice them apart.
Yep.
They can't stand.
Right.
They can't stand in the doctrines of God. So it will cost you everything. And we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. We don't want your money. We don't want anything. We want you to just open the Scriptures, test everything we've said. Go deep in the Word of God, and then you must repent. You must come out. If you walk in there today, I said this to another man who emailed me.
Yeah, I told him that.
There was a young man here.
Yesterday,
maybe your age. How old are you?
27.
Okay. He was about your age. Yeah. He said, I'm going to go in there today and look around. And I said, my prayer is that you go in there today. I said, I'd love it if you left, but my prayer is you go in there. And I said, look around. See what people are doing. See how people live. See what's going on here. See the money taking. Look at the people that are playing here and then go, are they making money off of my Savior? How do they live? What do they believe? Look at 97.3 and see how worldly and carnal they are. And then test everything in the Word of God. And if you do that and you say, Father, I was here, but show me the truth, Lord. I want to be a vessel of you. I want to be a child of God. I want to honor you. You'll never come back this again unless you come and hold signs. Because you'll see that to be united to sin means you're walking in unrighteousness, and that doesn't lead to the kingdom of God. So that would be my prayer for you, is that God's opened up your eyes, and you must be seekers, otherwise you wouldn't be talking to us.
Absolutely. Right. I love the truth.
Yeah, it's awesome. So go deep, and it'll transform your whole life. It will.
And we're here to encourage both of you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you got a card. You got our email. I love you. Can I give you a hug, man? I really do. I love you. I care for your soul. I care for your soul too, young lady. And I would love to be an encouragement to you. If you want Bible study, here's my challenge to you. Anything I've said, anything you read on our website, we got thousands of articles. If it's not biblical, email me. Let's talk. I'll get a brother on the phone. We'll talk about it.
No cookies, Bible.
What's that?
No exactly.
Cookies,
Bible.
No t-shirts, did you say?
She said no cookies.
No cookies.
Bible.
Yeah, Bible. I want the Word
of God. Bible, the Word
Jesus
of God,
said
right.
We live by every word out of the mouth of God, okay? And so these people have to understand why we come and do this, because the Word is life. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And again, they've turned Jesus into a Sunday religion. They've turned him into a trinket. They've turned him into entertainment. Do you know how many people have said to me today that are claiming to be Christians? Yeah, we get it. This is just entertainment.
Yeah.
They said we come here to be entertained. I said, where does the Bible say we're to waste our time in entertainment? Jesus said, go preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what I'm trying to do here. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Do you see them doing that in there? No, they want to sell you a ticket and give you a flush show.
And sell parking.
Yeah, and sell you food and sell you t-shirts and sell you trinkets. They're not doing the great command that God told us to do.
Right.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and I want a praise report. I want to praise you for being willing to be a submissive woman. She didn't push back when I went over some of the things for godly
women.
That's
so rare.
It is rare.
Feminization is rampant in this culture. And what is feminization? Feminization is a woman going outside of God's ordained authority for her. And then a man can be feminized as he allows women, or he acts. So you got men ordaining women pastors. You can't find that in the scriptures. Now, women are equal with us. They're not lesser. They're not lesser important. When you have children, ready? You're important. She's important. Your six children, if you have them, I hope you have 12. They're all important, but guess what? You're in authority.
Yeah.
You're second in authority over the children. What if the children said, oh, come on, Dad, we're all equal. We want to rule the house. And you let your children rule your house. What would you have?
It would not be a fun house.
That's America today. You got the children and the feminist women ruling, and everyone needs to know their order. When the police show up, they have authority over me. When I ask for a supervisor, the supervisor shows up, has authority over him. If I go to the chief's got authority over them. If the governor shows up, the governor steps up. If the president shows up, I tell you what, when Jesus parts the clouds and he comes back, which is going to be soon, there is no authority like him, and you want to be under his authority and his word, not the church system. Well, yeah, good for you that you see that, because the first sin was feminization. Well, no. First sin was pride, Satan, call him. The second first sin of man was feminization. What did Eve do? She had a husband, and she said, let me listen to what the snake has to say. Hey, that does look good. Here, husband, have some. And so that was the first feminization, and we see feminization, and I always tell people, it's the root of abortion. It's the root of divorce. Last stat I read, 70% of divorces the women ask for. Because women want liberation and freedom. Yeah. And it's the root of homosexuality and transgenderism. And ready? It's the root of paganism. Look up in all the cultures. Goddess worship. Feminization. And so it's very, very steep. And that's why God wants women and men to all be in their order. When there's an order of God, he's glorified. So that's very important. Right. Boy, I preach about all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, I could preach about just about anything, and people go, yeah, whatever, shut up, yeah, whatever, leave us alone.
We would stand here all day, I think.
Yeah, okay.
But you have so far. We've gone
when
over
I preach
a lot.
About feminization, when I preach about feminization, literally, you can watch some of my street preaching videos. The crowd goes, oh!
I know, I was hearing that.
It's like I took a gun out and started shooting people. It's like a dagger that goes through them because they know, oh, man, don't make mama mad.
Yep.
Oh, that's
she
exactly
controls
right,
the checkbook. She makes more money than me. Don't make mama mad. Her mother will come after me, too. I'll go, yes, ma'am, whatever you say. They're so feminized and not seeking after the kingdom of God, and that creates sin. And we live in a male feminized culture. And the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, ready? The timid, the fearful. Revelation 21:8 says the fearful will not inherit the kingdom of God. That word fearful means timid. Timid. You got a lot of men and women walking around timid about the things of God. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. But they're not living for him. They're not telling anybody about him. They're not lifting up the gospel. This will help you. You know what the word preacher means?
No.
You think it means a guy in a wooden box on Sunday taking your money? He's a hireling and he does all the teaching. You think that's what the word preach means? The word preach means public crier. Now look it up in the Bible. A public crier. Somebody that goes out and proclaims the oracles of God to the public. Jesus did it. John the Baptist did it. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, street preaching. On the side of a mountain. From a boat.
And what did they have to do? They had to leave their families and
We don't tell people to do anything that the Bible doesn't tell you to do and that we didn't already do. So we don't want to be hypocrites,
right.
You know. We had to leave our drinking. I had to leave my fighting ways. I had to leave my sports idolatry. She had to leave her feminization and her pride and her vanity. I had to leave that. You believe it or not, ready for this? You're going to laugh. When I was 18, like that young guy, Titus. Oh, I love that guy. I love you guys too.
He was just standing over there.
He was awesome. He's like, I saw you last year. I love this. He's like, I saw you last year too. And I said, you did? He goes, I wanted to come talk to you then, but I was afraid. I said, what are you afraid of? He goes, I wasn't sure you were approachable. And I said, when I'm dealing with mockers, I'm a little brash. And I said, I am bold. But I said, do you notice? Have you seen? He goes, you're very approachable. He said, as long as you're not a mocker, you're very approachable. He was like that. And I said, I am. I said, I reject the mockers. But I said, I am very approachable. But I love that when young men say, I saw you last year. 12-year-old boy yesterday comes walking by. I'm preaching. He goes, way to go, Brother Tupos.
Really?
And he walks by me and I go, young man, come here. I said, here's a gospel card. I said, how do you know my name? He goes, you were here last year, right? And I said, oh, okay, I was. He goes, I've been on your website all year. Watching our website. He's here with his family. He's 12. His dad tells him where to go. And he goes, I'm watching your website. And he goes, preach on. So those are seeds going into a young mind that one day he'll go, ding, ding, ding. That old street preacher that everybody hated was telling me truth. I looked up in scripture. It's true. The prophets did the same thing. They were hated for the same thing. Hey, you're ruining our party here. Go away. Get out of here. You're making me feel bad about my sin. Grace. But no grace is going to be exhibited. Just like she has to leave her boyfriend, you would have to leave your girlfriend. No grace is exhibited while we cling to sin. So the fruit that we want Christ is repentance. That's what repentance is. Leaving sin. Stan, you ever been in court?
Yeah.
Okay. Go before right.